Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Well, like I said, my name is Brian. I'm happy to be with you tonight. And the title of tonight's message is, Do We Truly Know? Now, I went back and forth with this title, and you guys will get an idea of what I'm getting ready to say. But the reality is we live our life with an understanding of what we think we know. But there comes times in our life when we feel the pressures of life, or maybe we don't understand something, and we get met with the opportunity to declare whether we think we know or whether we truly know. And this point of scripture came as I was reading through the book of John, chapter number 4, verse number 7 through verse number 11. And you could go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. And here, there is a woman that Jesus is talking to in Samaria. And it says in verse number 7, and I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible. Go ahead and give a shout out, Pastor Teresa. This is for you. Verse number 7, it says, Then came out a woman from Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, Give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? And for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Verse number 10, he says, Jesus answered her and said, If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink. I'm going to pause for a second because I feel like there's a lot of times that we're standing and Jesus is right in front of us. And are we asking the right questions? Do we truly know the authority that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has? Here he's met with an, and here she says, I don't understand why you're even talking to me. He says, man, you're not even asking the right question. See, we all have opportunity we're met with here on this earth where we go before Jesus and I pose to you a question. Are we asking the right questions? We see all of the things that are going on in the news and we ask God, why are these things happening? How can you let these things happen? He's like, man, I need you to pay attention. Understand who you're standing before and understand the authority in which I carry. He says, you don't even realize who it is that you're talking to and who said, give me a drink. You would have asked him and he would have given you living water. He says, it's time to switch your thinking a little bit and look at the bigger picture of what's going on. See, again, we go before God and we ask the questions oftentimes, but the reality is, are we paying attention to who we're talking to? Are we asking the right questions? Do we understand the authority in which we're standing in front of? Do we even truly know how big, how powerful, how masterful our God is? He goes on. I want to read this verse out of the Amplified in verse number 10. He says, Jesus answered her, if you knew about God's gift of eternal life and who it is that says, give me a drink, you would have asked him instead and he would have given you living water, eternal life. See, I think a lot of times we have our focus on the wrong thing. We're so focused on the things that are going on in front of us. We're so focused on the things that we're feeling. We're so focused on our loved ones or the pain in which we see. We're focused on the wrong things. And he says, look, if you understood who you were talking to, you would have asked a different question. And I would have given you something bigger than you could have ever imagined. He goes on in verse number 23. Go ahead and jump ahead. He says, but an hour is coming. See, the Samaritan woman just had her covers pulled. Once she realizes that what's going on and now she's talking here, Jesus pulls her covers and says, hey, where's your husband? Oh, my husband said, yeah, I know about your dead husband. And there's a man that you're living with right now. He ain't even your husband. You think you're hiding something, but you're not. And so here in verse number 23, he says, but an hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. See, she again asked the wrong question. So where's the right place to worship? Is it where you worship, or is it where we worship? I need to understand. And he says, look, again, there's an hour that's coming. I'm not looking for you to look for a destination. I'm looking for you to get your heart right and understand what's going on here in this earth. I'm looking for a true worshiper. Not a worshiper based on what you think I'm going to do for you. Not a worshiper based on me giving you all the right answers. Not a worshiper based on me giving the right answer to the question in which you think should be asked. He says, no. There's an hour that's coming where I'm looking for a true worshiper, one that will worship in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. Again, she doesn't recognize who's standing right in front of her. I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. And when that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Again, he's already answered her question, but yet she's not trying to hear it because she's so focused on what she thinks she needs, instead of focusing on what's right in front of her right now. See, again, I think so many times we focus on what we think we need instead of understanding that God's already given us all things anyways, and he's already defeated the enemy. And so we need to stop asking the wrong questions and understand the authority who's standing right in front of us. So here he goes on in verse number 26. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. He says, look, I need you to grab a hold of, again, who is right in front of you. I am the one that you're waiting for. I am the answer to all your problems. I'm the one who can give you all direction. I'm the one who can take care of all of your needs. I am that one. But you're not paying attention. Verse number 28. So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come see the man who told me all things I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? Again, here he's already told her, he's pulled her covers, he said everything that she needed to know to understand who he was. But yet she goes into the city and she says, wait a second, I just need to be sure. This man just said everything about, but is he truly the Christ? Is he the anointed one? Is he the kinsman redeemer? Is this the savior of the world? Is this Yeshua? I need to know if this is the one that we've been waiting for. See, so many times we spend our life waiting when it's already been given to us. We're so focused on what we can have that we can't see what we do have right in front of us. We're so focused on what we want God to do that we can't see that it's already finished anyways. We're so focused on the promise that we can't see the promise keeper that's standing right before us. See, do we truly know who's standing before us? Do we truly know? I'm going to go to John chapter 1, verse number 1 through verse number 5. This is a section of scripture probably most of us in this room know, but I'm going to say it anyways, because I think so many times, and every single one of us in this room can be guilty of finding ourselves in a place where the burdens of life hit just a little too hard, and we forget about the God who stands before us. See, in John chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the beginning with God. All things come into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Imagine. There is nothing that's going on inside this world right now that is catching Jesus by surprise. I was just talking with my brother Aaron right before a service, and it's amazing. Even when Pontius Pilate goes to Jesus, he says, hey, listen, I need you to understand, I have the authority to either release you or take your life. He says, no, no, no. Understand that the only authority that you have is the authority that's been given to you from above. What did he just say? I'm standing before you right now because I chose to. And anything that you're going to do to me right now is because I submitted myself to it. See, nothing happens without his permission. He is the authority here on earth and in heaven. We have to understand he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. All things come by him and through him. Nothing was made that was made. See, we have to understand the authority that we get, the privilege of coming before and walking in here on this earth. See, I wonder sometimes if we spend most of our time going before God as a prophet instead of the Messiah. We look at him as a man of God instead of God. We look at him as somebody who can do something instead of somebody who has done something. See, we have to understand when we go before the throne room who we're actually speaking to. We need to stop looking for another solution. And we need to understand that he is the solution. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. It says in verse number 12, for the word of God is living and active. I think I need to read that again. For the word of God is living and active. See, whatever it is that you're believing for in your life right now, if it's in the word of God, guess what? It is living and it is active. But remember also, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So it says that the word of God, Jesus Christ, the one who defeated death, he is living and he is active. So when we look at the things that are going on in this world right now and we don't understand what's going on and why Jesus isn't doing anything, we have to know that he is living and he is active. He is doing something. We may not understand it, but we need to trust in it and know that he cares more about the salvation of man than he does our comfort. And there is something that's going on in this world right now where the devil wants to do everything he can to keep us distracted, to keep us divisive, to keep us focusing on the wrong thing, waiting for somebody to come fix the problem instead of knowing that Jesus already paid the ultimate price. He's already defeated death. He's already seated at the right hand. He's already done all things. And he is living and he is active. He is doing something right now in the midst of all of this, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing the far division of soul and spirit, of both joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Verse number 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confessions. I would venture to say that the majority of the people that are in this room confess to have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Do you know that you're going to be met with an opportunity where you got to hold fast to that confession? Well, I don't understand. I surrendered my heart and life over to Jesus Christ. Everything's supposed to be easy now. What Bible do you read? See, we're going to have to hold fast the confession of our faith. He goes on, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. You know what's crazy? We look at that, we get excited because Jesus has already gone through all things. But do we realize what it just said? That we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness? That right there tells us there's going to be opportunity in your life where you're going to feel so weak. You're going to find yourself in a place where you don't think you can go any further. And you're going to have to hold fast to that confession of faith. He goes on. And he says, but the one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. See, when we go before Jesus Christ, we don't have to wonder whether he's going to do what he said he's going to do. We can be confident that he will and that he has. See, it says that we draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. There we receive mercy and find grace in a time of need. See, we will find ourselves in a place where we will be at our weakest point. You will find times in your life where you feel like the punches of life are just getting too strong. But we hold fast to the confession of our faith. We hold on and trust God to know that he's going to get us through whatever challenges that we're facing, whatever things that are going on in the world, whatever obstacles that we're up against, whatever we hear on the news, whatever we read on our phones, whatever is coming against the world today. Listen, it's already defeated. All we got to do is hold fast to our confession of faith. We got to stop arguing. We got to stop dividing. We got to stop fighting about the things that do not matter. We got to stop trying to pick political sides. We got to stop trying to pick racial sides. We got to stop trying to fit the mold of what society says. Listen, we got to hold fast the confession of our faith. We got to believe God that if he said it, it is finished. It is done. We need to know that God is doing something. Why is this happening on this earth? Because Jesus is not slack in his return. But he's given everybody an opportunity to come to the wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you have to have a little bit of pain so that someone doesn't go to hell, if your feelings got to get a little hurt so that somebody doesn't have to die and go to hell, do you know somebody else's feelings were hurt so that you didn't have to die and go to hell? You know, I understand there's probably people that don't want to listen to me right now. Well, listen, I'm not worried about what you think. I'm worried about what God says. And listen, he is not slack in his return. He wants to make sure that all men come to the wisdom and knowledge of him. See, Jesus paid an ultimate price. The enemy wants us to forget it. He wants us to think, well, listen, nobody's going to die for the gospel's sake. Peter, Paul, John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, Stephen, should we go on? These things needed to happen so that the gospel continued to go out, so that his name can continue to be glorified, so that the world would not see. See, we're not a bunch of weaklings that are afraid to take a punch. See, we will stand head up, chest back, and we're going to say, listen, devil, go ahead. Give me your best shot, but I will never bow to the idols of this world. I will continue to serve Jesus Christ. I will not be silent, but I'm going to shout it from the mountaintops. Jesus is on the throne. See, we cannot slip back. I am so mad right now. The more I turn on the news, the more the devil ticks me off. See, but I'm not going to allow him to win. He's not going to quiet me. I was loud before this happened. Listen, I'm going to get extra loud now. So how do we hold back or hold fast to our confession? First, we need to experience God for ourselves. See, we know the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. What about the God of Brian? We love talking about the ones who laid their life down so that we could have the gospel. Are we willing to lay our life down so somebody else can? See, times are going to get hard. And if the only form of relationship we have with Jesus is being a spectator, the devil's going to get us. See, it's not about what we know. It's about what we've experienced. See, now that you know, it's time that you experience. You know, I went to this barbecue place. I was actually getting my hair cut a couple weeks ago. And my buddy Daniel, who's cutting my hair, shout out to Peepo if you're tuning in online. Love you. And he was talking about this barbecue thing that was going on at a park. And he's showing me videos. And man, I'm telling you, I'm getting my hair cut and I'm salivating looking at this oxtail. He's like, look, it just falls off the bone. They're shaking it like this. I'm like, he's like, this is the best oxtail in all of Southern California. And I'm like, man, it looks good. He had me convinced it was the best oxtail. But see, just because he showed me some videos and just because he had me convinced does not mean that I couldn't have walked away and talked to somebody else and said, well, no. Look at the videos of this oxtail. This is really good. Ooh, that does look good. Maybe I should try that place. What about this one over here? They got the best barbecue over here. Well, you know what? Maybe that does look pretty good. But see, what happened was that night I went and had that oxtail. And the only way that you're going to convince me is one that's better is if you bring me some right after church service. I'll let you know. See, I went from hearing about it to experiencing it myself. I went from having an understanding of what it could taste like to knowing exactly what it tasted like. See, all of a sudden, I went from a place from being able to be easily convinced to knowing, listen, you're not going to convince me of anything else. Why? Because I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. See, we got to experience it for ourselves. You want to understand the prosperity that God has for you and the provision that He has? Well, guess what? You got to experience what it takes to receive that prosperity and provision. That means that you got to do things according to the Word of God the way that He says it. If you want healing in your body, listen, once you experience healing, nobody's going to convince you otherwise that God doesn't heal you. Why? Because you've experienced it. But we got to get in the fight. See, we want to know what it's like to serve and to love on others. And we love to talk about those things. But yet we don't volunteer. What is it like to transform the lives of somebody else? What is it like to lead someone to Jesus Christ? I don't know. I've never done that before. But I heard it's really good. See, we're not just called to come and get filled up inside of a church service. We're called to get equipped so that we can go out and be the full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is giving us His word so we can go declare it to a lost and dying world. We got to experience it for ourselves. We're going to go back to John chapter 4, verse number 39. The story continues. It says, from that city, many Samaritans believed in Him because of the woman who testified. Now, this is already crazy because this is the same woman that says, this is not the Christ, is it? But He did pull my covers. They believed more than she did. She's like, I had Him right in front of me. I heard about it. How is it sometimes the world believes more than the church? Okay. From the city, many of the Samaritans believed in Him because of the word that the woman testified. He told me all things that I have done. Verse number 40. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, you see what just happened? They heard, and so they went. See, this is a man that has told me everything that I need to know. They said, oh, is that true? I'm going to go experience it for myself. See, something just happened. He says, so when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking Him to stay with them, and He stayed there for 2 days. Many more who believed because of His word, and they were saying to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said we believe. For we have heard it ourselves, and we know that the one is indeed the Savior of the world. See, they said, look, it's not about what you said. It's about what I experienced. And so now you're not going to talk me out of it. See, the first time my son was healed at 4 years old, you can't convince me that our Savior is not a healer. The first time that God got me through one of the hardest financial times of my life, you cannot convince me that he is not my provider. The first time that he healed my relationship with my wife, you can't convince me that applying the word of God to a relationship will not heal a marriage. Listen, are we applying God's word to our lives so that we can experience it for ourselves? Listen, I don't want to live a Christian life that I've heard about from everybody else. I don't want to base my faith off of everybody else's miracles. I want to experience them for myself. I want to see God's hand move in my life, in my children's life. See, it's time for us to stop being sideline Christians and get in the fight. Say, look, put me in, coach. I'm ready. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to go tell people about Jesus at the grocery store. I'm going to live my life for him. I'm going to apply the word of God in my life daily. I'm going to experience his goodness for myself. So when the enemy tries to come against me, when the pressures of life try to reign in my life, listen, I will not back off. I will not fall away. I'm going to trust. Why? Because I've experienced it for myself. See, God is looking for a people that are saying, look, I don't want to just know about God. I want to experience him. I want a relationship with him. I want to do life with him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 19. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible, classic edition. This way I won't preach as long. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourself, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all of your being unto the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of his divine presence. Oh my God, that sounds amazing. I need to read that again. Unto the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of his divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. See, I don't want to stop until I'm wholly filled. I don't want to stop until I'm full of God himself. See, I don't want Brian to show anywhere I go. It's too much of him as it is. I want everyone that looks at me to see Jesus Christ. Now, I got a lot of work to do. Don't say yeah too loud, Barbara. Where are you at? You got work to do. I love you, though, Barbara. We all got work to do, every single one of us. See, we need to make sure that we're doing what God has asked us to do, that we are making sure that we are living the life that he has called us to live, that we are not sitting idly by, letting the world talk about Jesus, but that we understand that if we're going to put our trust in him, that if we're going to say that we love him, that we will not be sitting back until we have fully experienced him. So when the pressures of life come, there's nobody that can convince us otherwise. After we experience him for ourselves, we need to keep his purpose in front of us. See, again, I think this is why so many times we get so distracted, because we're so focused on our wants instead of his purpose. We're so focused on what we want to see instead of what he's already done. We're so focused on the house that we want to buy when we have a mansion that's waiting for us, instead of focusing on the one who's going to die and go to hell. We're so focused on making the world like us, making our coworkers like us, that we're not keeping his purpose in front of us. See, We're so scared to say the truth because we're afraid if we say the truth, somebody may not like us. Or how about this? Somebody may take our life. Well, I can tell you right now, if I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and somebody takes my life, that'll be the best day of my life that I hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Somebody's going to hear the boldness of Jesus Christ. Because again, it's not going to take someone who's afraid to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to get the gospel out there. The disciples risked their life every single day. Jesus risked his life every single day. Paul wrote the majority of his letters while he was in prison. Who wants to do that? And listen, they didn't have cable, running water, checkers, like our jail system, TV, all this stuff that we like to do. They didn't have yard time. Yeah, we're spoiled here in the United States of America. They had to fight every single day. They had to know that every single time they went out to preach the gospel, that somebody might stone them, somebody might crucify them, somebody might hang them, somebody may burn them alive. See, they knew what they were up against, and they said, listen, I don't care who comes against me. I'm going to keep his purpose in front of me. Are we willing to keep his purpose in front of me? See, John chapter 4, verse number 42, the last part of this verse again, it says, and they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard it for ourselves, and we know that this is the one that is indeed the Savior of the world. You know what I love about this scripture? It does not say, this is the one that is my Savior. This is the one that's my family's Savior. This isn't the one that's my kid's Savior. This is the one that's my friend's Savior. This is the one that came to save those who disagree with us on Facebook and Instagram. This is the one that came to save those who vote differently than we do. Well, but they're wrong. Well, who's going to ever tell them? If you keep driving them away. Why do you need to prove that they're wrong? Well, first you need to prove to yourself that you're wrong and that he's the only one that's right and you don't have all the answers, only Jesus does. See, the minute we're willing to say, okay, listen, I'm willing to die to myself a little bit so that I can give him a little bit more glory, and guess what? It's not about me. It's not about trying to get the right person in office so that I can live comfortably, so that I can eat, be merry, for tomorrow I die. No, that's not the purpose of why we're still here. See, if that was the case, then we would be gone already. But Jesus left us here for a reason. Because there is a lost and dying world that needs to know the name of Jesus Christ. There are people that are out there that are going to die and go to hell. And listen, I deserved hell just as much as you did. But we're grateful that somebody told us. So what do we need to do? We need to make sure that we keep our eyes on what's truly important, that Jesus, he's right there in front of us. Again, we're not waiting for him to come back. We're waiting for Maranatha. We want him to come back for the final time, but it's not about that. Because we get so excited about the fact that when he comes back, and I know I'm guilty of this on a regular basis. I want Jesus to come back and take me. Because I'm tired. This world is hard sometimes. Can we be honest? I just had a conversation with God a few weeks ago. I was complaining to God about how tired I was, how frustrated I was. There was something that I was battling in my spirit. He says, my grace is sufficient. I said, I need more than that, God. Can we be honest? See, what I was dealing with in that moment was big. And so I wanted the Lord to just, hey, can I be done? Like, everybody that I read in the Bible, they didn't live. Moses had to live till he was 120, but everybody else, they got to go home early. Can I go? Is it okay to be honest in church? He says, I'm not finished with you yet. There are too many people that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are too many people that you need to reach. There are too many people that you need to coach. There are too many people that you need to tell the good news. See, we can sit and get discouraged about everything that's going on. We can cry and say, well, listen, I'm waiting for the one to come. He says, I'm standing right in front of you, and you don't even see it. You don't even know what I'm doing. You don't even know how I'm using you. You don't even understand what's going on in front of you. If you did, you'd be asking the right questions. See, he says, listen, it's about the salvation of the world. There are still people dying and going to hell. Our job is not finished. We cannot come to a church service on a Wednesday night, clap our hands, get all excited, go back and go to sleep, wake up tomorrow, start our life all over again until we come back Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. You better be reaching people in between. I better be reaching people in between. See, we need to be doing our job, the work of the ministry, every single day. We need to be showing our loved ones the importance of being in our word, of spending time with Jesus Christ in prayer. We need to be showing the world. Go ahead, take your swing, because I'm going to offer up my other cheek. You want my shirt? Well, hey, guess what? Here's my cloak also. What do you got? What do you want? Because there's nothing in this world that I have that I'm going to take with me. And all I got to focus on is there's too many people that if I say, hey, here's my cloak, now let me tell you about Jesus. See, take your swing. Because you may be able to hurt me, but you can't kill me and send my body to hell. There's only one that I fear, and his name is Jesus. Are we willing to do the work of the ministry? See, it's no longer about Jew or Samaritan. It's no longer about where you worship. It's no longer about all the things in this world that don't matter. Are we a true worshiper in spirit and in truth? Are we doing what God has asked us to do by living our life for him? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20 through verse number 21, it says, now to him, capital H, speaking of Jesus, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all you can ask or think. See, you're asked, if you understood when I asked you for water, what I was asking, you would have asked me for living water. See, what are you trying to think of right now? What are you trying to comprehend right now? Understand that God does not want to just meet you where you're at, but he wants to exceed where you're at. He doesn't want to just give you enough. He's going to supply more than enough, because he wants to give us enough that we can pour over to our brothers and our sisters, that we can continue to live life with one another, sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what he wants from us. And it says, abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Not your power, not my power, his power. See, when he says my grace is sufficient, I don't get to say, well, that's not enough. The heck kind of stupid stuff is that? Yeah, I can be an idiot sometimes. That's not enough, God. You're the one that tells the water where to stop on the sand. That's not enough. You spoke, planets existed. I need more than that. Oh, the fact that I'm even here on this earth, you breathe life in from dirt. No, he says, listen, my grace is sufficient in your life. See, I'm going to give you more than enough. So when you think you can't do, just know that you're going to exceed what you couldn't do before I supplied you with everything that you needed because you couldn't do it. To him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. See, he doesn't want to just give us the grace so that we can live our life for our pleasure. He's not concerned about us getting the best job. He's not concerned about us building the best family. He's not concerned about us having the most money in our bank account. He's not concerned. He's concerned about giving you all the grace you need to go reach generation to generation to generation. Listen, there are kids that are growing up, and he's called the church. Listen, I didn't just come to save you, but I came to save those to come. There are some that are being born today. They need to know about Jesus. There's some that are coming tomorrow. They need to know about Jesus. There's some that are in your neighborhood. They need to know about Jesus. There's some at your work. They need to know about Jesus. Listen, he has called his church to rise up and say, look, I will not back down, but I'm going to share the good news. Everywhere I go, to him be the glory. I'm not building my resume. I'm building heaven. I want to make sure that there is a lost and dying world, and if they go to hell, it's because they chose to, not because I wouldn't speak up. Are we willing to get a little uncomfortable? Are we willing to do the things that God has asked us to do? Do we truly know who we stand before when we pray? God, can you heal me? I've already done it. God, can you provide for me? Did you eat this morning? God, I just need a roof over my head. You got one. See, the things that we go to him with, and it's almost like we're asking permission for something that he's already done. He says, I've given it to you already. I've already defeated the enemy. You're asking me for help to overcome the one that's up in front of you right now. I'm telling you right now, I've already overcome him. You're asking me for help to defeat the devil. He's already defeated. You're asking for strength. I've already given it to you. All you got to do is step into it. Did you get something from God tonight? I want to make sure that everybody's had an opportunity to surrender their heart and life over to Jesus Christ. Nobody leave. Nobody walk away. Let's give God a little bit more time. See, we want to keep our eyes focused on the main thing. What's in front of us right now? Because again, there's a lost and dying world out there. But also, so many times, people come to church and they think they're okay with God. You've done all the right things. You've said all the right things. You think everything is okay. I went to church today. I'm obviously fine. I'm going to heaven because I read my Bible this morning. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm not looking for somebody who just knows me. I'm looking for somebody who will experience me. I don't want someone who just has a head acknowledgement. But I want somebody who's truly willing to say, I want to surrender all of my heart and all of my life. And I want to give you an opportunity today. Because if you were to die today and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you, you will spend your eternal life in hell. Well, that's a bold thing to say. It's truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father except by me. We do not go to heaven unless we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want to give you an opportunity today to say yes to Jesus Christ. How sad it would be if you came to church and you thought you were good. You got in your car. You started to drive home. Something were to happen. You get into a car accident. You die and you're standing before Jesus and you're like, man, I cast out demons in your name. Jesus, where's my crown? I did healing in your name. I raised my hand in church. I even got down on my knees in worship. I clapped. I shook Pastor Dan's hand on Sunday morning after church. He told me I looked good, so obviously I'm good. He says, go from me. I never knew you. Like, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. I've done all the right things. He says, you had it all right here in your head, but it never went right here. It's all about what you knew. but never about a true relationship. I want to give you an opportunity today to change that. A man by the name of Nicodemus goes to Jesus. He's like, what do I need to do to get to heaven? Nicodemus was a religious leader. He knew the word of God. He spoke the word of God. He declared the word of God. Everything that he did was better than all of us put together in this room. And Jesus tells him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He says, I don't understand. I'm an old man. How am I supposed to climb into my mother's womb? He says, man, you're not getting it. He was born of the flesh. His flesh was born of the spirit of spirit. You came into this place born of the flesh, and you need to leave this place born in the spirit, surrendering your heart and life over to him. See, when you say yes to Jesus Christ, here's what happens. You die to your flesh, and you become alive in him. But it has to be a choice that you have to make. Nobody's going to strong arm you into it. Nobody can make you do it. It's all up to you. But do you trust him enough? Are you going to be like the Samaritan woman who's standing there going, you know what? When the Messiah comes, he's going to show me all things. And Jesus saying, man, I'm calling you home right now. When I'm ready to give up all of the stuff that I used to do, I'll come. He says, man, I'm ready to come. Take it away from you right now. But you have to be willing to give your heart and your life to me. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to say all the right things. All you got to know is that Jesus is good enough. Say, well, Brian, listen, I'm pretty messed up. I got a lot of stuff going on. I know I'm not in a good spot. Jesus wouldn't want me to come home this way. I need to change my clothes. I need to freshen up a bit. I need to clean up a couple things in my life. I say it most times when I'm up here. Liz, I was 3 days sober at a men's rehab when I gave my heart and life over to Jesus Christ. I would have done it sooner if I was awake before then. I was too spun out to be awake, missing church the first couple days that I was there. But man, the minute I had an opportunity, I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ, and I never looked back. Does that mean that I didn't make mistakes along the way? I make plenty of mistakes every single day. But I don't stay in my mistakes. I continue to pursue righteousness. I continue to pursue sanctification. I continue to pursue Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you're saying, I need to clean myself up first, no, you don't. You need to surrender your heart and life over to Jesus Christ and allow him to clean you up from the inside out. But are you willing to first be so bold to say, I want to surrender my heart and life over to Jesus Christ? I want to give you that opportunity. So here's what I'm going to do. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Hit my hand on the microphone like this. I had that little soft microphone clap too, Pastor Antonio. He had that the other day. I'm going to say one, two, three. When I say three, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Why do I got to raise my hand? Listen, if you're so ashamed to raise your hand in a safe and friendly place like a church, you're never going to be bold for Jesus Christ out there in the world. I want to give you an opportunity. Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. It's a choice we have to make. Are we willing to confess him today as Lord and Savior of our life? So if you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm speaking to you. Never made a wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ, I'm talking to you. Not sure? Make sure today I'm speaking to you. When I count to three, if you need to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, get ready to get your hand up. One, two, three. Let me see your hand. I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else today? I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else today? I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else? I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else today? Didn't embarrass them, won't embarrass you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else today? Anybody else today? Oh, I see your hand. Praise God. Amen. If I saw your hand, you can put it down. I want to give you one more opportunity. Your heart's pounding out of your chest. You're like, man, I'm not sure. You need to make sure. I don't know if I should. You should. You're not promised tomorrow, but you are given an opportunity today. I'm going to go through the room one more time. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, let's give God a hand for all the people that said they're going to surrender their heart and life over to Jesus Christ. Here's what I want to do. Everybody's going to stand to their feet. If you said, I'm willing to be so bold to raise my hand, I'm going to ask you, would you get out of your seat and come to shake my hand here on the front row? I want to lead you in a simple prayer, inviting Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. Real simple, real easy. We don't get to heaven just by raising our hand. We get to heaven by inviting Jesus into our heart. So if you said, I'm willing to be bold and raise my hand, are you willing to be bold and come up here to the altar to pray? I think I saw a couple more hands. If you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand, come on up here to the front. Praise God. Was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You're a good-looking bunch. Smile. It's the best decision of your life. You guys did not come up here is something that's scary. You came up here to shed away all the things that are scary in this world, take on the authority of Jesus Christ so that you can go out there and live the life that God has called you to live. When you leave today, you're going to leave with authority. See, the world was beating you up, but you don't have to take the licks of the enemy anymore, because you will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit who comes alive on the inside of you because you made the best decision of your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Everybody in the congregation is going to repeat this with you. But say these words. Say, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you that you have given us this opportunity to surrender all of our hearts and all of our lives to you. So we declare this day that we are born again, that we're a new creation, that we are King's kids, that we're no longer living according to the things of this world, that we are dead to our flesh and alive in Christ Jesus. So come, Holy Spirit, into our hearts, into our lives. Guide us and direct us. Motivate us and encourage us. Help us that we may be all that you've called us to be. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, here's what we're going to do. See this guy over here on my right? He's real crazy. You got to watch out for him. Just kidding. This is my stepdad right here. His name is Steve. Amazing man of God. Here's what he wants to do. He wants to take you into the back. He wants to give you some information. He wants to give you a friend. And he wants to tell you a couple things about our church, and he's going to release you right back with your family. So if you can make a left-hand turn and follow Steve right over here.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.